This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Why Tesla rakes it in when its competitors guzzle too much gas. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Car companies are about to pay double the penalties if their fleets fail to meet fuel efficiency standards. And all-electric Tesla stands to make a lot of money from that change. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here to explain.
David, we're talking about CAFE standards. That stands for Corporate Average Fuel Economy. Automakers are assessed penalties if the MPGs for their fleets do not average out to what the federal regulations require. While Congress hiked up penalties for missing efficiency targets, they were supposed to more than double starting in 2019, the penalties, when the deficiency industry-wide averaged 1.3 miles per gallon. But there's been a lot of back and forth. The Trump administration tried to roll back penalties. There have been lawsuits, multiple appeals court decisions. Well, all that's ending now. There's a final rule. Automakers will pay higher penalties starting in a couple of months, and it's retroactive for model years 2019 and later. Estimates are this will cost the industry $1 billion a year. At least initially, Chrysler parent Stellantis may be stuck with the biggest bill. The company says it could be as high as $750 million.
One way for the gas hogs to avoid penalties is to buy emission credits from competitors with very efficient cars, meaning Tesla could sell a bunch of these credits, which makes the Tesla people, I think, smile.
Yeah. And until the middle of last year, in fact, selling credits is what pushed Tesla into profitability. It's been backing this increase in penalties, and Tesla's credits could be worth more now, David.
All right, Nova, thank you. At a time fuel is already so expensive, why are other inputs farmers use so high? The U.S. Department of Agriculture has launched an investigation into the seed, fertilizer, and farm supply markets. It's about what mergers may have done to competition. Here's Marketplace's Savannah Marr.
Russia and Ukraine are among the world's top wheat producers. With the war, the price of that commodity has skyrocketed. But that doesn't mean American farmers are cashing in, says wheat farmer Nicole Berg.
I have double, triple fertilizer costs or fuel costs. Then you got to just grow the crop.
Berg heads up the National Wheat Growers Association. She says between drought conditions and those rising business expenses,
I'm not sure the price of wheat is staying in pace with my yield, my input costs.
Part of what's driving up the price of farm supplies and equipment is market consolidation, says Philip Howard, who studies food systems at Michigan State University.
Whether you look at seeds, chemicals, farm machinery, just four firms control over 40% of the global market for all of those.
The USDA's inquiry stems from a broader order from the Biden administration to promote competition in the U.S. economy. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
Russia's war on Ukraine has, amid so much else, also cut into the global supply of wheat. The cost of this staple is now the highest since 2008, and this is being felt especially acutely in lower-income countries, in Egypt, Lebanon, and beyond. Rising bread prices can be dangerous, Marketplace's Justin Ho reports, on the Middle East's history of bread riots that have rocked governments and how likely that may become as this war drags on.
Food is a big part of people's budgets in the Middle East, because so many people live in poverty there. Mirat Mabrouk is a senior fellow at the Middle East Institute. She says that's why bread is such a staple.
when you can't afford other things, you will be able to afford the bread. So you take away that staple and life becomes very, very difficult.
That's what happened in 1977, when the Egyptian government announced it would stop subsidizing bread and other food items.
What they got was about 2 days of all-out chaos and rioting. And not surprisingly, they walked the decision back.
Uprisings over the price of bread haven't just happened in Egypt.
In Morocco in 1981, also 1984, Jordan 1989 and 1996.
Monica Marks is a professor of Middle East politics at NYU's Abu Dhabi campus.
Moving on to Tunisia, there were huge bread riots in 1983-84. Hundreds of thousands of people demonstrated around the country, over 100 were killed. And it led to a weakening of the ruling Bourguiba regime at the time.
Mark says that paved the way for former Tunisian President Ben Ali to take power. And he was deposed during the Arab Spring protests in 2011, which were in part fueled by bread prices. Mark says these events have shaped the politics of the region.
We saw in a number of countries autocratic leaders becoming more afraid of lowering food subsidies. We saw a number of examples during the 1980s of autocrats tightening up security policy, becoming more restrictive in how they repress dissent.
Now that wheat prices are rising again, protests have broken out in Iraq and Sudan. Omer Karasipan is an analyst who spent over 30 years at the World Bank. He says Yemen, Syria, and Lebanon are particularly vulnerable.
I mean, Lebanon, for example, has only a month's worth of grain stocks because their grain storage terminal blew up during that famous explosion in the Lebanese port.
If the war keeps the price of wheat high, Karasipan says the Middle East will have a food problem next year as well. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And tens of thousands of grocery workers in California have authorized a strike now. If that were to happen, it would affect Central and Southern California Ralphs, Albertsons, Vons, and Pavilions. There are more negotiations set for Wednesday, though. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.